Let me start with Chandra's discovery, because it's genuinely one of the more interesting astronomical findings we've covered recently. The Chandra X-ray Observatory detected what researchers are calling flickering supernova remnants in galaxy M83, the southern pinwheel galaxy, about 15 million light years away. About half of the supernova remnants they examined showed unexpected changes in X-ray brightness over a 14-year observation period. The leading explanation is that stellar survivors, companion stars that weren't destroyed when their binary partner went supernova, are orbiting collapsed stellar remnants. And the interaction between the companion stellar wind and the collapsed object is causing the brightness variations we observe.
What I find striking about that discovery is the 14-year observation window. Chandra has been in orbit since 1999, and these kinds of multi-decade datasets are producing discoveries that would be impossible with shorter-term observation. It's an argument for sustained scientific infrastructure investment. The payoff sometimes takes a decade or more to materialize.
The star 1,300 light-years away that apparently consumed one of its planets is a different kind of sobering discovery. Astronomers identified chemical signatures in the star's atmosphere consistent with having absorbed planetary material, specific ratios of elements like iron, nickel, and silicon that don't naturally occur in stellar atmospheres at those concentrations unless something external was ingested. The star is sun-like in mass and age, which makes the finding relevant to thinking about our own solar system's long-term future.
Astrobotic's Griffin 1 lunar lander announcement is one of the more concrete steps toward permanent lunar infrastructure we've seen. NASA designated the spacecraft Moonbase 2. There's apparently already a Moonbase 1 program or planning phase as part of a strategy to establish permanent infrastructure at the lunar South Pole. The South Pole is the target because of evidence of water ice in permanently shadowed craters, which could be converted into drinking water, oxygen, and hydrogen fuel for future missions.
The late 2026 launch window means we're talking about a vehicle that would reach the moon within 6 months. If Griffin 1 successfully lands and deploys at the South Pole, it would be an important proof of concept for the infrastructure-first approach to sustainable lunar presence. The Apollo missions were flags and footprints. What NASA and commercial partners are now building toward is something that stays.
NASA inviting creators to the Roman Space Telescope launch is worth mentioning in context. The Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope is Hubble class in aperture, but with a field of view 100 times larger, designed primarily for dark energy surveys and exoplanet searches. The decision to invite content creators, not just traditional press, to the launch reflects how science communication has evolved. A single well-followed space science YouTuber can reach more people with a launch video than many traditional media outlets.
The coral reef study is genuinely encouraging news in a science landscape that often brings grim climate updates. Researchers presenting at the Our Ocean Conference in Kenya identified 166,000 square kilometers of climate-resilient reefs, reefs that can tolerate warming beyond current projections. That's three times the area previously identified as potentially resilient. The mechanism isn't that these reefs are immune to warming, it's that they appear to have genetic or ecological characteristics that allow faster adaptation. The finding suggests that targeted conservation of these resilient pockets could preserve significant coral biodiversity even under continued warming scenarios.
The UNICEF report on 1.1 billion children facing three or more overlapping climate hazards is the shadow side of that coral story. Drought, extreme heat, and heat waves are the most common overlapping threats, concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. The compounding nature of multiple simultaneous hazards is what makes these exposures particularly dangerous. A child experiencing drought-related food insecurity, who then faces an extreme heat event, has reduced physiological resilience for each additional stressor.
That UNICEF number, 1.1 billion children, is nearly every other child on Earth. We often discuss climate in terms of long-term projections and temperature targets. The report is a reminder that climate hazards are already a present reality for roughly half the world's child population.